Well, hello, here we are again with another broadcast. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1. Have your Bible ready if you can. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10, if we do these things, he said, you shall never fall. Well, fall for what? What's he talking about here when it says that we would never fall? Well, he ends this little book in verse number 17 here by saying, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, he's talking to some believers here who are steadfast, but he's warning them. He's saying, be careful, because you can fall away from your own steadfastness. But if you do these things, then you will not fall away from your steadfastness. Well, we want to be steadfast. What are these things? Well, we've seen in previous broadcasts that, first of all, he says, to your faith, that is salvation, add virtue, that deals with standards. Then to your virtue, add knowledge, and that's going to take some study. Then he said, to your study, add temperance or self-control. And once again, as we've said in a previous broadcast, it's not simply talking here about us saying, well, I got to get control of myself. No, it's talking about the fact that we have to let the Holy Spirit control our self-life, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. If the Holy Spirit has charged those things, then we're not going to have a problem serving the Lord. So then to your temperance, he said, add patience, and that has to do with Christian suffering. Then to your patience add godliness, and that has to do with sanctification or being separate unto the Lord. Then brotherly kindness, which has to do with service. And finally, charity, which has to do with sacrifice. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, it says that charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Now, charity, it's talking about a sacrifice here. In Philippians 1:9, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. But the verse goes on to say, in knowledge and in all judgment, more and more. Now, if you have knowledge, you have understanding. And he said, I want your love to abound, but you got to have understanding about this love and in all judgment, in all discernment. We got to know, who to love, when to love, how to love. There has to be some knowledge and there has to be some discernment here. Now, when we get into the final message of the Lord, before he was crucified and went back to heaven, we read here that his final message was about understanding love. And in that message in John chapter 15 and verse number 17, he said, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Now, you just cannot love on command. There's some things you can do on command. For instance, the Lord said in Matthew 8 and verse number 18 that they should get in a boat and go over to the other side. Well, they could do that. They could just get in the boat and go over to the other side. But here we read that the Lord said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now, it's important to understand that he said here, these things I command you, that ye love one another, or if you do these things, you will automatically love one another. He's not commanding them to love. He's commanding them to do these things, and the byproduct of doing these things will be the fact that they will love one another. Jesus began discussing these things in chapter 13 of the book of John. He said in verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye. In John 14, 25, he said, these things I have spoken unto you. 15 and 11, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 16 and 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. John 16 and 3, these things will they do unto you. Then in 16 and 4, but these things have I told you, and these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. These things. Now, a careful study of the things in these verses will reveal that doing them will manifest itself in us loving one another. If we do the things he commands us, we will experience the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and 22 is love. And so if we determine to do the things that he has commanded us to do, the byproduct will be that we will love one another. The Bible does not command us to love one another without giving us the instructions on how to do it. For example, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, it says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We're taught. Now, in John chapter 15, there's an interesting verse or chapter, I should say, on the subject of love. He talks about, in the first part of the chapter, abiding in Christ. The second part of the chapter, he talks about loving Christians. And then in the third part, he talks about being hated by the Christ rejectors. Now, in chapter 15, verse number 1, Jesus said this. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then he said, abide in me. Down through these verses, you'll find the word abide several times. Abide in me. Now, it is impossible for us to love like Christ loves unless we determine, first of all, to abide in Christ. He was speaking here concerning the subject of abiding in him and bearing fruit as a Christian. And as we said, Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, we get down to verses 9 through 17 in John chapter 15, and he talks about love. He said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than the man laid down his life for his friends. Now, I don't think he was talking about dying for them. I think he's talking about living for them. He said he came to this world and he did die for us, but he laid down his whole life for his friends. And that's what it's talking about here. Jesus said, abide in my love. And if we abide in his love, obviously we will love one another. Now, love is much more than a feeling. John 13:1 says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That is, he loved them as much as it was possible to love them. Then in verse 4, we read, he rises from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, girded himself, and what did he do? He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So verse 12 says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. But he said, if I then, verse 14, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, for if I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Love is much more than just sitting there saying, well, man, I want you to know I love you. Love is an action. Love is something that we do. Verily, verily, he said, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Then he said in verse 17, he said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So he said, love as I have loved you. So when he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, what he is saying here is if you do these things, the byproduct will be that you will love one another. So we would do well to learn what these things are. And that's going to take a little while. You might have to turn off your television for a little while and get into the Bible and let the Bible get into you, find out what these things are, and then we will automatically love one another as Christians. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have the most extensive information on love that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. There's actually 15 characteristics concerning love between verses 4 through 7. Now, and it's interesting to note that in this book of 1 Corinthians, there's 12 very negative chapters. He talks about the disunity that they're having within the church family. He talks about human wisdom and how they were ignoring the Word of God. He talks about carnality. If it feels good, do it. That's the kind of Christians they were. He talks about strife and their bitter disagreements and the refusal to judge between what was right and wrong. He talks about pride and the deep satisfaction with the things they thought they had achieved there. He talks about immorality. It talks about the fact that they weren't having any church discipline and Christians were taking each other to court and they were all divorcing one another and they were abusing the communion service and all this time speaking in tongues, saying, oh, we're filled with the Holy Spirit because we speak in tongues. How foolish. Well, we see 12 very negative chapters here, and then all of a sudden it turns in verse 13 to the most extensive information on the subject of love that we're going to find in the Bible, and there's 15 characteristics of love here. He said, love suffereth long. He said, love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. What a chapter. Well, it's talking about love. Now, the English word love is an adjective, which is just a word that describes, an adjective, it describes the words. But the Greek here is a verb which is describing an action. And God is talking about love as an action, a process of doing something. Our behavior has to do with the way we do those things. So he says here in verse 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though, he said, in spite of the fact that I may speak, in spite of the fact, verse 2, that I may have a lot of abilities, in spite of the fact, verse 3, that I may give, he said, if I have not love, I am nothing. I'm a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just sit there saying, well, I love you, fellas. He gave what was most important to him. What is most important to us? Probably our time. You can give money and then you can go out and earn some more money and get some back. But when you give time, you don't get any of that back. It's a very important thing. How much time do we give to the work of the Lord? And how much time do we give to the Lord himself and talking to him? Oh, yeah, we're going to sit around and watch television, watch all that trash. We got no time to talk to the Lord. You don't love the Lord. One thing is sure, when we love someone, we want to communicate with them, and we can tell how much love we have for the Lord by how much time we communicate with them. Well, we see here that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples while they were all arguing about who was the greatest. And he had just told them he was going to die on the cross. Still, they're all arguing about who's the greatest, going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And he got a bowl of water and came over and washed their feet. Now, you understand the symbol here. in those days, of course, they walked around in their sandals, and if you went to visit someone in their home, the first thing that would happen is they would have a servant come, and he would just wash your feet. And so what the Lord was teaching them here was, never mind sitting around who's going to talk about who's going to be the greatest. The greatest is the servant, he said. As I have done unto you, so ought ye to do to one another.